in the deaf community, they don't hear clapping, so they do this as a way to clap. So if you ever feel like trying it on, it's really kind of nice. So to the choir, da-da. So. Today is the sixth Sunday after Epiphany, which was January 6th. That might not be a red-letter day for you, but in the church calendar, it says there are only three more Sundays until Ash Wednesday on March the 9th. So we are quickly approaching the Lenten season. And you will notice that the scripture selected for today, I didn't select it, shifts and becomes a lot more intentional and serious about just how we are to come alive as the body of Christ in the world. These final weeks in the season of Epiphany, and it's crazy that it's still Epiphany, but it is, really become a time of preparation for the journey that we will take with Jesus during the Lenten season. It's a little like what Advent is to Christmas. We are now in time of preparation for Lent. So hear the words from the Old Testament reading as assigned in the lectionary for today's Sunday worship. Reading from Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 through 20, from that wonderful translation in the Message Bible. Hear now Moses talking to his people. Look at what I've done for you today. I've placed in front of you life and good, death and evil. And I command you today to love God, your God, and to walk in God's ways, and to keep God's commandments, regulations, and rules so that you will live, really live, live exuberantly, blessed by God, your God, in the land you are about to enter and possess. I place before you life and death, blessings and curse. Choose life. Choose life so that you and your children will live and love God, your God, listening obediently to God, firmly embracing God. For God is life itself, a long life settled on the soil that God, your God, promised to give to your ancestors, the big three, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And earlier in that passage, but not up on the screen, Moses sums it all with these three words. He says, just do it. Just do it. And he adds, it's not hard. You can do it. Just choose life and love God, and it will all unfold. It will unfold. And so ends the reading from the Old Testament. These are not words to quibble with. You don't quibble with Moses. And there's no confusion about what he is saying. God is life. And we are to choose life so that we and our children might live exuberantly. Isn't that a nice word? Exuberantly. And blessed by God. Our second reading from the New Testament is from Matthew 5, verse 48. This New Testament version has a similar command and mandate, but it is short, strong, and not very sweet. Matthew says it all in two words. In a word, what I'm saying is this: grow up. We had just do it, we now have two. Grow up. You are kingdom subjects. Now live it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others the way that God lives toward you. That's it. And so ends the New Testament reading. No misunderstandings here either. We are kingdom subjects, which means we are part of God's kingdom here on earth, and we are here to do God's work in God's kingdom. Two passages from the Bible and two short, unforgettable instructions, just do it and grow up. Couldn't get more direct. But what does it mean to choose life? What does it mean to say yes to life? And what's all this talk about being grown up? Aren't we pretty grown up anyway? Well, maybe to answer these questions, we have to start looking at what these words do not mean. Choosing life, saying yes to life, even being grown up, does not mean being good, better, or best. It really has nothing to do with self-improvement or any of the programs designed to make us better or nicer people. It really has very little to do with my own personal growth. But choosing life has everything to do with loving God, listening obediently to God, firmly embracing life with God at the center. It has everything to do with understanding that God is life itself, and there is no real life for my spirit outside of God. We are created by God, made in the image of God, to live generously and graciously toward others. Now, when Moses is speaking of choosing life or death, he is not talking about my physical death, but he is talking about the death of my spirit. And to live without spirit is to die indeed. Every moment of every day, we live on the edge of that duality, that precipice of life, death, blessing, curse. And it's all in the way we choose to manage the edge of knowing God and feeling connected to God and feeling disconnected from God. We understand intellectually that we are God's people, but it is so easy to slip over that edge and just be concerned with ourselves. Or sometimes we try to work both ends. I mean, I'll do my best, God, but I'm only human. But that's not what the Scripture is telling us. The Scripture says we are kingdom subjects if we don't choose life, if we don't recognize that God is life, we are automatically choosing death. Each moment we recognize our relationship, we are transformed into life with God. Let me tell you a story. Most of you know that Lou and I have been engaged in a very wonderful research study, talking to people all over the United States and in England about their spiritual lives. We have talked to over 4,000 people for nearly 18 years, and we've literally heard thousands of words and stories from Protestants and Catholics and Reformed Jews and recently Muslims. Stories about the transforming presence of God in people's everyday lives. Unforgettable glimpses of God in action in this world. One particular story really fits our scripture today. We were in a church basement meeting with a group of people. We often met in the basement. I didn't know if that was a conscious way to hide what we were doing or just a more convenient place to be, but we often met in the basement. And in this particular room, the walls were filled with beautiful, beautiful photographs. And the photographer was with us in the group. So we did our stuff and afterward had a chance to be with this photographer. And he told us what he had not been able to tell anyone before. He told us that he had AIDS. He said, "I have AIDS and my blindness is a result of my AIDS. But I have to tell you, I am profoundly grateful for my disease and for my blindness. Before I had AIDS, I was a real son of a gun. I didn't care for anyone. All I was interested in was making money and having lots of power. But since my disease, since I cannot see anymore, all the women in the world are beautiful. And all the men in the world are handsome. And I am grateful every day for my disease because it has transformed my life. It transformed me in a way that could never have happened without my having this disease." This man, who had only a short while to live, had found out how to say yes to life, to God, to being in God's kingdom, to embracing the presence of God in his life. In his blindness, he had learned to see life and God clearly, unmistakably, and with profound gratitude. Who he was before his disease was in the past. It was gone. He was living in the present, in the presence of God. How lovely to live in a God-created world where all the women are beautiful and all the men are handsome, and discover that God is right next to you. When you choose life, you choose God. When you choose God, you choose life. They are interchangeably connected. The state of your life before that decision doesn't matter. What matters is that you recognize that God is the most important part of your life. Whatever edge you are walking on right now, whatever edge is driving you crazy as you try to make everything work, there is only one choice, and that is to choose God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your being. When you choose God, you choose life, because God is life. And you will never be alone in that choice and that decision. As Moses says, simply and poignantly, just do it. Don't mess around with it. We put up so many barriers against God. Let them down even a little. Let God in. You may be surprised to find out how easy it is. This church, this body of Christ in Cocoa Beach, Florida, has decided to say yes to life and to God in a way that takes your breath away. In an economic world that is troubled and uncertain, in a time when most churches are cutting back on expenses, cutting staff, or shutting down, this church, our church, has decided to grow. Under Dr. Fred's powerful direction, with the presence and dedication of this church's leaders and members, the question was raised, Quo Vadis? Where in the world are we going? And the question was fully and completely answered. We are moving into the future with trust in God, trust in this congregation, and in the members who will come into our community in the years ahead. And now we can see the fruits of that promise and that commitment right next door in the sanctuary. So you better stop and take a look. This whole church has said yes to God and yes to life. They have just done it. And all of us now can live exuberantly in our new space. The edge we walk is a financial edge. How will this get paid for? There are no simple solutions, and there are very troubled and perilous times in the world. But the Spirit of God is in this church. You can feel it, you can see it, you can hear it. This church has grown up into the future and has chosen life. And in so doing, an entire community has chosen God. They just did it. We just did it. And we are not alone, not now or ever. Let us pray. Most gracious God, Lord Jesus, our Redeemer and our friend, Holy Spirit, with us now and forever. Bless this congregation. Bless their commitment to be a church. Bless the work of every member of this community. Bless the ministry and the music and the wonderful educational programs in this church. Bless every program and outreach of this church, which is such an anchor for this community. We enter the future in full confidence that we are not alone. You are right here, right now, with each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.